All right. Well, good morning, everyone. So glad you're here. All of you are here. Thankful to be here. I do notice there's a lot more people over here than over here. I can't explain it. It just happens that way sometimes. So those of you over here, thank you for being here. We really appreciate you holding this side down for us, you know. In life, there are things that if we're going to do, we need to stick to it and we need persistence, right? So that could be a good P word for today would be persistence. You know, so if you were to be asked, what the P word was from this week, it would be persistence. But we need persistence, and we need a lot of persistence in our Christian lives, in what we do as Christians. We need persistence. And there are things that could cause us to be discouraged or to lose heart sometimes, and we have to deal with those things. And we're going to talk about an area that we need persistence. And we need to stick to it. We need to stick to itness, okay? And that's prayer. We need it. We need it in prayer, okay? So let's take a moment and look before we go any further, and let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and to teach and to preach and to share. And Lord, I would just ask that you help us to hear from you clearly and understand what these words of Scripture say to us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, Pat, I can't probably take any more of this adjustment. I'll have to do something because it's really distracting to me.
Yeah, I think it's just because it's angled weird.
I don't know about that. Okay. So, is that a little bit better there? Can you hear? You can hear me. Whatever it is, it sounds a little bit better, okay? All right, now, before I get in this, I do know a little bit of what the worship team and Janelle and Crystal and all those gals have done to us. They want us to appreciate them more. So they go away, and they're not here, and we do all this stuff, and they want us to appreciate them more. And I do, don't you? So we're thankful for them. All right, so today's sermon's called Pray and Don't Give Up, because that's really an area where we need to make sure that we're not giving up. And it is an area that it's really easy to lose heart. It's easy to lose heart in prayer and maybe to be praying for something for a while and then stop praying for it. Okay, but we need to keep praying. And we need to keep praying for things that God puts in our hearts, all right? So let's look at the scripture. I've got a couple passages for you here this morning. And this is in relation to our study on prayer here, okay? Luke 11, starting in verse 5, it says, "And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves.'" Now, I actually hope that none of you do this. Go to your friend's house in the middle of the night, knock on the door and say, "Excuse me, can I borrow some sugar? You know, I'm making cookies and I've got some people coming over and I don't have enough sugar, you know." So he's given this example. It's kind of a little bit of a strange example, a little bit of a far out example, an unusual example. Now you could imagine, you know, somebody like this, you know, showing up at your house when they're not supposed to be there, you know, waking you in the middle of the night. So he says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him." Now, how would you respond to that? You might probably say, "Well, boy, you should have thought of that earlier." Kind of late now, you know, for that. He says, "And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.'" So that might be the initial answer. Do you realize we're asleep in here? Now, this kind of reminds me a little bit, in this case, like of being like in a tent or something where you could be inside, you're inside the tent, you're laying down, you hear somebody come to the door, and you're like, "Hey, don't you know we're sleeping in here? Time to go." No, no one's answering the door. No one's coming to the door. So that's a possible response. But Jesus says, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Now that word, impudence, is defined in English as a bold lack of regard for others. A bold lack of regard for others. And so he doesn't care that the other guy's asleep. He has this boldness. he goes to the door and he asks for this thing. Now, another way that this is defined in English is a shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. So the person persistent should have shame about going to the door at night, should have shame for that, but doesn't give up, persists, and continues to go to the door and continues to ask. And what this is saying is that person will get up and give something to him, not because he's a friend, and here's your friend, and you're never going to turn down your friend for coming to the door. No, you're going to give that something to that person because he's coming to the door, and because of his shameless persistence, that he keeps coming, he keeps asking, he keeps asking, he keeps asking, he keeps asking. So he says that's the reason why that this man will get up and give him whatever he needs. And Jesus says, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So he told this parable and this example as an encouragement for persistence in prayer, for continuing to come to the Lord in prayer. Now, we do have to put some thought into this parable and the next parable. And let me tell you this up front, what I think a bad interpretation of these two parables are. Okay, and this is probably one that has been somewhat commonly taught in places. And it's probably even a very natural reading of this, as you think. But if you think about some things, it doesn't really fit with these two parables that I'm saying. These parables should not be thought to convey this idea that what we do is if we want something from the Lord, we ask him, and then we keep asking him, and we keep asking, we keep asking him, and eventually we will wear him down, and he will give us what we want. Okay? That's not how we should think about it. We should not think about it, but we should think about this as more of a contrast, okay? Now, for instance, you go to sleep at night, right? Does the Lord go to sleep? Is he ever locked up in his house and you come to him in the middle of the night because you got a prayer and you say, God, I need to talk to you. I need help with something. Is he ever like, the door's shut. It's not time. I'm resting. I need my rest. We're asleep here in heaven. The prayer is closed. You know, it's not like that, right? So when you compare, you have to compare the contrast. So this is a human being. This is a person. You know, we're all familiar with that. But the contrast is a God who is always available. A God who's always eager to hear from you and always able to answer your prayer. And he's fully able to give you what you need. Now, he doesn't always give you what you want, but he's fully able to give you what you need. And so there's a contrast here. And so if this person will respond because of this person's shameless persistence, how much will a holy God that loves you and cares for you respond when you have a faithful persistence, when you continue to pray because you believe that God is there listening to your prayers and answering your prayers? Okay, so he doesn't want us to give up on praying. He wants us to seek him. Now, in being a believer and following the Lord, there's a certain amount of study and acquiring knowledge, but there's some part of it where it's a heart matter of, are you gonna seek the face of the Lord? Are you going to try to draw close to him? And probably the most significant way we do that is in prayer. We do that in prayer. Now, I'm not saying that as opposed to, you know, studying the word, because we study the word, we do that, we read, we hear from God in that way. But so much of the communion that we have that's exercised in faith is through prayer. Now, we can approach the word of God by just learning a lot of knowledge and putting a lot of knowledge into our mind. But if we're not doing that with prayer and focusing on that communion with God, that connection, think about it, that line of communication that you want always open with the Lord. So he is encouraging us to keep praying, to be persistent in our prayer. And he says, you know, what you ask, I mean, he's saying, it will be answered. It will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Now, I'm not here to convey that whatever you want, whatever you ask for, whatever you imagine, that God will answer the way that you want him to. Not at all when you read the scripture. And I'm going to show you that in a couple verses here as we go. But God wants us to continually come to him. He tells us in the scripture, pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't give up. Now, he says, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open." So you ask God and you seek God's face in matters, he will answer your prayer. Now, this is what he does. Sometimes he says yes to what you pray. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says maybe. Or sometimes he says wait and see. Wait and see. You're going to pray for that, and you got to keep praying for that and keep praying. But the bottom line is, when you think of the God that's presented in the Bible, that we learn about from the Bible, we don't have a God who's far off and not involved in our lives. He's close, he's involved, he's attentive to our prayers, he's listening to what we say. We don't have to conjure up things to get his attention, to cajole him into listening to our prayers. He's eager to listen to our prayers. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You want me to continue to show you that? He says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Again, so you have a contrast here. If you as earthly fathers who are here, you guys who are earthly fathers, or you who know about like good earthly fathers, what a good earthly father would be like, if their kid comes and asks them for something they need or something that's basically good, we'll look at them and say, you know, rather than giving you that good thing, I'm going to give you a really dangerous thing or a really bad thing. He says, no, you, even though you are evil, okay, in and of yourself, you're evil, you're sinful. Okay, you're not good on your own. You're not born basically good. You're born with this original sin in your life and this sin problem, and you struggle with it, and there's still this great battle between the spirit and the flesh, even if you're in Christ. So even if you as an earthly man, as a person, know how to give good gifts to your children when they come and ask you, how much more will our perfect Heavenly Father know how to respond with good things when his children come and ask him? Amen? And so what that should be is that should encourage us. This is all meant to encourage us to continue in prayer. Like, keep asking God. Keep bringing things before the Lord. Keep seeking his face on things. Because he's a good God and he is able to give us what we need. And this is really interesting how it says, how much more will a Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so that's the ultimate gift is the Spirit, the giving of the Spirit, but the victory of the Spirit over the flesh, the victory of God in our lives, overpowering the passions and desires of our flesh, making a new creation of us, sanctifying us, making us more and more like Jesus every day. So in some sense, I think what you're seeing here is you're seeing this person who continues to persist in prayer, and the more that a person persists in prayer, the more filled they are with the Spirit. And the more they subject themselves to the Spirit. That's what you have. And so that's the true blessing in prayer. And if you give up on prayer, you give up on being shaped by the Spirit in that way. And having more and more of the Spirit. Amen? All right, so do you want me to show you some more? Okay, all right, I'm going to show you some more. Let's look at Luke 18. There's another parable. It's actually very similar to this, okay? And I think this is the one that's especially misapplied. He says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Now, these are nice parables when they give you the meaning like right up front, right? We like those kind of parables. Like, this is what this means, the whole picture. The whole idea here is that Jesus wants you to pray and he doesn't want you to lose heart. Now, another phrasing for that lose heart could be give up or maybe be discouraged. All right, he wants you to keep on praying. He wants you to keep on seeking him in prayer. You know, he wants you praying every day continually. It's not like just a phone call you make to the Lord and you hang up, but he wants you just continuing in prayer, having that attitude of prayer. But he knows, now listen, when you see stuff like this in the Bible, he knows the reality is people sometimes get discouraged. They get discouraged in prayer. Well, what could discourage a person in prayer? Well, maybe you're praying for somebody. Maybe you're praying for somebody to know the Lord, and you've watched that person year after year after year, and they don't know the Lord. In fact, they're going the opposite direction. That can be discouraging. Maybe you've had some desire in your heart for a long time and you've prayed to the Lord for that and the Lord hasn't answered the way you want him to answer. And so you've become discouraged in that. Okay, maybe you are the type of person who likes to take things into your own hands and likes to do things and you're like a real doer and it comes a lot more natural to you to be a doer than a person that just stops and sits at the feet of Jesus and prays. And so maybe you've even operated in guilt and you've been like, you know, I need to pray so much more than I am. I'm really bad at praying. And you've gotten to the point where like guilt, never a good motivator. And you've tried to motivate yourself through guilt. You've tried, but you've become discouraged because you're just not who you think you're supposed to be. And maybe you've become discouraged in prayer, lost heart, because you've got some bad teaching on it. Some false ideas, you know, things that you thought, well, this it should work this way and it doesn't. And so you're discouraged in it. Anybody here ever been discouraged in prayer? Thank you for being honest. You know, I would say we all probably at different points have lost heart. Now, some of us probably more than others, and some of us probably have more of a gifting where that comes more natural to be in prayer and to be faithful in that way. But if you read something in the Bible like this, Jesus says he wants you to pray and not lose heart. Why do you think that's in the Bible? Because people fail to pray and they lose heart. So this stuff isn't just in here for no reason. This is in here because we need to hear this. We need to understand this. And so he doesn't want us to lose heart. He wants us to keep praying. Now, one in particular that I think hits home with me, and I think about some of the things that I've prayed for most in my life, would be for people that I know and I love that don't know the Lord, for them to be saved, to pray for them in that way, that they could have their eyes open, that they could understand, and that they could receive Christ. You know, that's an ongoing prayer of mine. And I think that's probably one of the things I've prayed for most throughout my whole life for certain people in my life. And I would say there probably are periods of time where maybe I've become discouraged. Or maybe I see somebody's heart getting so hard in some way my heart can become hard towards them. This needs to be a reminder to us. If you've got some people that you know and love and you interact with that are non-believers, that are hard-hearted towards God, don't give up on praying for them. Keep praying for them, okay? Continue in prayer for them. Don't lose heart. So he goes on, he says, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Now, an important thing to understand right off the bat is this judge does not fully represent God in this parable because this judge is unrighteous. Is God ever unrighteous? Is he at all unrighteous? No, he's not. God is completely just, and he's the definition of righteousness. So this is a contrasting situation, a comparison that's being made. Again, same like the last one I said, between a holy God who's perfectly good and an unrighteous person. So this person is an unrighteous judge. So he didn't fear God and he didn't respect man. So he didn't care what God thought and he didn't care what any man thought or what was just or right for men. Probably just cared about himself and what he could get out of it. Now, if an unrighteous judge does this, just think what a loving and just God will do. That's the comparison here. Okay, and he says, there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. Now, her prayer is for justice. So there's some situation where she was wronged and she didn't receive justice and she kept bringing it before the law. I want justice, I want justice, I want justice. Now, what was the attitude of the judge? Well, he didn't care about justice and he didn't care about her as a person. And so he would ignore her, okay? And so it says, for a while he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. So the judge gets beat down, or he doesn't want to get beat down, but he's tired of seeing this lady again and again, and the only reason that he even responds to her is just because he's sick of her showing up and continually bringing it before him. All right, again, don't think that this is saying that this is God. Okay, God is not like ignoring you. He's not a God that does not care about you. He's not a God that doesn't love you, that just gets annoyed with you, and you get so annoyed with you that finally he's going to answer your prayer. All right? But if a human, an unrighteous human person, responds that way, what about a good and loving God that when you come before him to call for justice, to seek him, is he listening? Is he attentive to your prayers? He is. And it says, the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice? Okay, so the unjust judge has said, you know, he's tired of seeing the woman, he gives justice. But this is what it says about God. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? God is not like the unrighteous judge. His elect, what that means, his elect means his chosen. That word elect is like election, but it's the idea that God, some part of it, we can wrestle, we can argue with it all we want, but it's a total biblical concept that within our salvation, God has chosen us. He has elected. And so in that salvation that we have, that if we, his chosen, if we, his born again, his children, those who have been saved, if we are calling to him, calling to his name, seeking him in prayer, he lives to answer our prayer. He lives to do that for us. And so he will not delay long. He will not just sit back and ignore our prayers. He's eager to answer them. He says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God is eager to give justice, and he will give justice speedily. That's what the scripture says. The question, though, is this. Okay, when he comes, when the Son of Man comes, so this is a place that's teaching, Jesus is coming back, so get ready, all right? Christ is coming back, and when he comes back, is he going to find faith on the earth? Now, what does that have to do with prayer? I think this is an awesome verse. This is a really key verse as you look at it. That this thing that he's looking for, faith on the earth, it's pretty well equivalent to prayer. He will find people that are calling out to him, people that are exercising their faith by praying to God. When God comes back, is he going to find people that are people who pray and people who persist in prayer? Is he going to find that? Is he going to find kind of just like a head knowledge kind of a faith? Is he going to find like an intellectual faith or a cultural faith? You know, like a lot of people say, I'm a Christian. I answer the thing. You know, like they've got these like Barna surveys and things, and they're saying there are fewer and fewer Christians, fewer and fewer people that identify themselves as Christians, and everybody's all worked up about that. And maybe we ought not be so worked up about that, because a lot of people used to say that they're Christians just because, and they really weren't probably Christians anyways, right? And so maybe we shouldn't get so worked up about that, and we're going to have probably just the number of Christians that God wills here, just the number of people that are born again and following Jesus. But now we got to have that passion to take it out and to share the word and do that and evangelize. But, you know, surveys and numbers and things like that, they're kind of twisted as you look at it. But the fact is, when Christ comes back, is he going to just find a bunch of cultural Christians, or is he going to find people that are praying Christians, and they pray because they have true and genuine faith? Amen? Amen. So will he find that? Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find this prayer? Now, let's go back to this and think about this, this persistence in prayer. Sometimes we pray wrongly. We do. We pray wrongly. And I hope that you all think of this verse, James 4:3. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Sometimes the reason why it seems like God is not listening to our prayers, not answering our prayers, is actually God doing a good thing, because we're praying and we're asking for something that God doesn't want us to have, but we want to have that, right? And we're not praying right. And so we're praying wrongly, and we keep coming to God, we keep asking for this thing that we want, and the answer is no. Now, he might not be conveying that to us, but he's not giving us this thing that we ask for. Okay? Well, what might you be asking for? Well, maybe it's not God's will that you have that job. Maybe it's God's will that you don't marry that girl. Or maybe it's God's will that you don't marry that guy. I'm not looking at any of you people saying that, by the way, as I say that. You know, I accidentally look at a couple people that are getting married here soon, you know. But as you think about it, like some people are like, they want this relationship with this person, and they're like, I just want her so bad. I'll pray and pray and pray about that. And he asks her, and she says no. Well, maybe that's the Lord answering right there, you know. Now, if she says yes, that might be the Lord answering too there, right? Amen. But maybe it's something that you just think you have to have, and God says, no, I got a different plan for you. Maybe it's a job, the position. I mean, there was a time I really wanted this certain position in my job, the company that I worked for. I just wanted it so bad. And it was like right before me, and they were going to give it to me. And then all of a sudden they changed their mind and they didn't give it to me. And I was like heartbroken. And now I look back on it as like, that didn't even matter now at all. But it seemed to matter so much, you know, in that moment. But sometimes we're not getting what we want because we're asking from the wrong motives. And we want it for ourselves. And it's a selfish thing. So we have to check that. Now, also, sometimes when we pray, God says no. God says no. Okay, you want me to give you an example of that? 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me to keep me from becoming conceited. Paul was having these amazing experiences, revelation from God, being used amazing ways by God. But he said, you know what God did? He gave me a thorn in the flesh. Paul doesn't say exactly what it is. People speculate on what it is, but Paul doesn't say, and I think it's for a reason. But there was something, some thorn of the flesh, something that was bothering him. Sounds like physically. Some people suggest it's like another person, but most other people think it's some kind of physical ailment or something. Something that Paul was struggling with that he asked the Lord, you know, to take away. This was harassing him, he says, and God gave it to him so that he wouldn't be conceited in all that was going on. But he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. So three times, and I don't know what Paul means when he says he pleaded with it, but maybe he had three periods of serious prayer to the Lord that the Lord would take this thorn from his flesh, that God would heal him of that, that God would remove that from him so it wouldn't be in the way. Three times he prayed. Now, he wanted it gone enough that he was moved to pray to the Lord to ask him for that. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That was how God answered. God said no. God said, I'm not going to heal you of that. I'm not going to take that away. And I have a reason, and I have something better for you, because my power is not made perfect in your strength and in your wholeness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. When your physical body fails, when you break down, when you're not depending on your own strength, but you're depending on God, then God's power is made perfect. Amen? Now, how many of you now are glad that you're getting older and your bodies begin to fail and you face these things? It's a spiritual advantage that we go through things. Now, we don't like it, you know, we'll be able to pray, but sometimes the answer is going to be no. So there is not an argument to be made, if you study the scriptures as a whole, that God is going to say yes to every prayer if you have enough faith. There's not an argument to be made for that at all. Sometimes the answer is just no, because God says, I've got something better. Got something better. What I've got in mind for you is that you're going to grow spiritually through this physical thorn in your flesh. And then Paul gives a good reaction. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He embraces his weaknesses. He's happy with his weaknesses because he knows what's happening to him spiritually. And this is what can happen to you. Now, I've had this sometimes, like I'm a, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a really like physical person. I've like constantly like to be moving and doing things, play a lot of sports, do a lot of exercise and things. And I actually, if I'm honest with you, sometimes I can get like a little depressed when I'm like set down and I can't move. You know, I think this is going to be a challenge for me maybe someday as I go. But there have been some times when I'll do something like I've rolled my ankle like really bad and I can't do the things that I normally do. I've hurt my neck and shoulder some different times. And during those times, I know I'm certain that God is slowing me down, that God is saying, stop. Stop what you're doing. Rest, be still, focus on me. Learn to do this more, even when you're healthy. But all those times, even though I'm not happy about a twisted ankle. I'm not happy about an injury or something like that. But when I have that time, I feel like the Lord is saying, stop. Turn your attention and focus on me. And that becomes a good thing. So I would encourage you in that same way. He goes on and continues, he says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, what if God says no? What if God says no? I just have some thoughts for you on this. If God says no, our prayers change, but they don't stop. Right? So God says no. So I don't think Paul, he might have stopped praying that God would heal him of that, but he didn't stop praying. Right? I think maybe sometimes, maybe we have a prayerlessness and we only pray when we really need some help with something. So it's like there's a prayerlessness and then all of a sudden there's a thorn in the flesh and then we start praying and then if God says no, we stop praying. That actually might be a little bit closer to what some of us are like. But rather what we need is we need prayerfulness. And we need that sometimes God is going to say no to things that we earnestly bring before him, but that we keep praying and we persist in prayer. Now, it's because God has something better. Like this example was God's power made perfect in weakness. And sometimes when God says no and you pray, that you're going to pray differently over time. Your prayers are going to change. But he wants you to keep praying even when he says no. Or maybe there's uncertainty. Like maybe it's not a clear no, but there's uncertainty. So the next one is, what if God doesn't give a clear answer? You're praying and there's no clear answer. There's going to be some things, like it's not an obvious no, okay? But you keep praying for those things. So you keep praying. You should continually check your motives, right? Am I praying something that is selfish? Okay, check that. Be sure to submit to God's will, that you really want to follow, you know, God, and you really acknowledge that, you know, God ultimately knows best and he's in charge and he's in control, so I can trust him in that. And then a really important one is, you know, as you pray and there's uncertainty, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Now, this isn't like a wait and give up. This is a wait and continue to be faithful and just be on the lookout for what God's doing. And you can even really expect that he's paying attention to your prayers, you know, even though it seems like a long time has gone by. What's a long time to you, by the way?
2 seconds.
2 seconds? Okay, all right. I think for us, like, 2 seconds already went by. That was that long? So a long time is somehow in the human experience, right? For us, a long time. What's a long time like to the infinite God who lives in eternity? A long time. His is a little different standard than we have, right? About things, you know? So, but we... In this life, one of the best things that we can do, and we see examples of this in the scripture, is be people that wait on the Lord. That means we continue to be faithful when there's uncertainty, and we continue to wait for him to act. And we have examples of that in the scripture, like we have David as an example of that in the scripture, a really good example of that. But we be people that wait on the Lord, and then the bottom line is, I've kind of made a little sandwich here, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep on praying. Now, I want to end here today by giving you 7 reasons to keep praying, all right? 7 reasons to keep praying. Are you ready? Okay. Number 1, because Jesus said so. All right, should we just stop there? Is that enough? Like, you remember that? You know that experience, like, where the little kid's like, why? Why? Because I said so. All right? Now, actually, that's always not always a good response, but like you get frustrated sometimes, right? Ultimately, people need to acquire knowledge and understanding, and we need to have knowledge and understanding. That's why I'm going to give you 7 instead of just 1, okay? But when Jesus said you need to pray and you need to not lose heart, remember, he was saying that for a reason, and it's really important if Jesus said it. So that's number 1. Number 2 is we need that open line with God. We need that. We need to keep that open line with God. That's why he says pray without ceasing. So I just give you that as like a picture, you know, that picture of that open communication, that communion, that fellowship, that continued God's presence in your life. Okay, we need that. That's number 2. Number 3 is, and I think this has been demonstrated here, we need to keep praying because God is listening. God is a God who's attentive to our prayers. And if that's true, and that is true, and since that is true, then we need to take every advantage of that. We need to keep seeking his face. We need to keep praying. We need to keep believing that he's there listening. And if we get discouraged, we have to learn to deal with discouragement. But we need to keep going to him. And the biggest motivation to go to him is because he's there and he's listening and he loves us. Amen? How many of you are so thankful for that? So God is there and he's listening, and that is the reason. He's attentive to our prayers. Number 4, prayer really changes things. Prayer really changes things. That is a reason to pray, and we see that in the Bible. Now, you can get so theological in your understanding. You can say, well, God already knows what he's going to do before we pray. But yeah, but your prayer is part of that. And he wants to work through your prayers and use you in it. And it's above our pay grade, right? It's well above us to understand. But for some reason, God wants to use us in his plan. And he wants to work through our prayers. And so I really believe this with all my heart that like sometimes there will be a person who has a disease or a sickness or something. And even though God has a plan for this whole thing, part of his plan is that we come before him and we plead with him and we ask him to cure this person, and that God sometimes will say yes and do that. Now, he doesn't do that all the time. Sometimes he has a different plan. He works a different thing. And we're never going to manipulate him. We're never going to pray so hard that he has to answer, right? That's the bad teaching that we want to avoid. We want to avoid that bad teaching that, like, if I just pray powerfully enough, God will answer. If I just pray with enough quantity, God will answer. If I get the right person praying, God will answer. But the fact is, we have a God who's just eager to hear from you. He wants to, you know, listen, like, my kids, like, I think I was talking to my mom about this last night, just kind of thinking about some of the kids and my niece and stuff and how much they call home or don't call home. And Sarah lives with us still. I believe Sarah would call pretty regularly, and we'd probably talk really regularly. But sometimes my boys, they don't call as much, and I think that's probably normal, somewhat normal. But when they call me, I'm always eager to answer the phone when they call. I want to hear from them. I want to hear from them. I'm happy to hear from them if they call me. I'm like, what's the special occasion? You know, what's going on? But I think it's like that with God. God is not like, oh, it's my child again. Geez, calling on me again. No, God's like, great, you're calling me. Let's talk, I'm here. You know, no, I'm not asleep. And so he's there, and the prayers that we pray, they really do make a difference. They really do change things. Okay, number 5, God shapes us through prayer. God shapes us through prayer. Let's think about this for a second. Let's say there's this person that you're praying for. You're praying for this person. Nothing seems to be changing. Nothing seems to be happening. But I bet a lot is happening in you. And maybe because you continue to pray for this person, you love that person more and you love that person better. Or maybe there's this thing that you're asking God for and you're not sure if he's going to give this. And maybe the answer is no. And maybe over time what you're seeing is you begin to realize, I don't need that. I don't need that. I need God. And God starts changing you and shaping you and making you into something different. And then all of a sudden you look at your prayer requests and it's like, man, my prayer requests, the things I pray to God are totally different because through all this prayer that I've been doing and all the serving God and fellowship and Bible study and all the ways I've been working, my prayers are different than they were when I first started. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? And so God uses prayer and he uses all those other things to shape us, to conform us to the image of Christ. It's part of our sanctification, but that happens in prayer. Number six, if we give up on praying, we will otherwise miss out on answered prayers. So listen, if God has a plan to work through our prayers, and if God has a plan to do something, and we can pray and we can see prayers answered, and the point of that would be to build up our faith, to make us stronger in him, to make us more usable by him, to strengthen the body. But if we fail to pray and we fail, that we're going to miss out on that experience. Amen. We're going to miss out on the experience that solidifies for us the fact that God is there and answers our prayers and he responds. Okay, we're going to miss that, and we don't want to miss that, do we? Should be something that we really want. Now, if we don't feel like we're experiencing that, it's not like our faith is not based on that. Like, oh, I've just got to have this experience where I prayed for something and God so clearly answered it. But I believe that he will, and I believe that he does. And if you're not faithful in prayer, then you are going to miss that. Amen? Number seven, prayer is faith in action. I really believe that. Prayer is faith in action. Like, it's pretty easy to just, like I said, stuff things into your mind, but it's sometimes a lot harder to take that faith that you learn about and just sit down before a God that you can't see and talk to him and call out to him and pour your heart out to him. But if you truly believe the things that we're proclaiming, that the scripture's proclaiming, that's what it leads to. And that's what faith actually looks like. So it's really where I would say the rubber meets the road in your faith. I mean, this is faith really happening when you pray to God. Amen? All right, so I would just encourage you, don't lose heart in prayer. Don't. And keep praying. And think about, maybe ask yourself this, have there been some things that have caused you to lose heart? Are there some situations that you used to pray for more that you've kind of stopped praying for, and you need to get back and you need to keep praying for them? Or maybe are there some things where God has said no, but you need to adjust your prayers, but not stop praying, but keep praying. Amen? All right, now speaking of prayer, I'm just going to close this in prayer. There's no more closing song or anything at the end. Just prayer. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for what we read today and we talked about. We know that right now, as we in this place are bowed before you and lifting our prayers up to you, Lord, that you are listening, that you are there, that you're eager to hear from us, Lord. Yes, you don't want us to just go through the motions. Yes, you don't want us to fake it. You want us to really come to you, Lord, and I pray that we're doing that right now and that you teach us to do that and you give us a real persistence in our prayer lives, Lord, and that you use our prayer lives to build us up to become more useful by you. And Lord, if there's one or more people here that have come with a need today, that have a significant need or situation, Father, I don't even need to know what it is, but I can bring it before you right now, and I could pray for it, and I could know that you're listening, and I could know that you're involved. And so I bring those situations before you. I call on you for help. I ask you to intervene. I ask you to bring assistance and aid where it's needed, Lord. Lord, and if there's a person here that needs comfort and encouragement and strength, that needed today to be reminded of your goodness, Lord, I pray that you'll use these words and things we talked about to do that in that person's life, Lord, and that they would have a greater understanding of your goodness in their lives, Lord. And finally, Lord, as we here want to serve you and want to honor you as we go out to do that this week. Father, I pray that we would receive more and more of a filling of your Spirit, Lord, to lead us and direct us and guide us, Lord. And pray that you would have more and more victory over our flesh and our lives, and more of you guiding and directing the way. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. And God's people said,
Amen.
You're dismissed.